We're doing the Shotaran. We're up to page Tafla Medvav in the Mosada of Kuk edition. V'neish kan makom iyun v'hu. We could analyze this with the following point. Ki ze ra'ui sheimashech al da'at mi sheyachshov she'en tam lemitzvot ha'Torah klal, ela kulan nimshechot achar ha'ratzon levad. He says, if you're going to approach the Torah and say, the mitzvos, don't look for a reason. God just said so, just do it. If that's your approach to Torah, so then that's fine. Then everything works fine. We said earlier that the rabbis of the generation have to define the mitzvot, they define the laws, and even if they got it wrong, you have to listen to them, because they give the definition of the laws. So he says, if you view the Torah as just a system of adherence, where the main point is adhere, do what God said, then that works fine. Doesn't matter if you get it right or wrong. So long as you do what God said, it's fine. If the rabbis tell you you should wear a six-cornered garment instead of four, or the rabbis tell you Rosh Hashanah should be a day earlier or a day later, it doesn't matter. The Torah gives license to the rabbis. Whether they get it right or wrong, you're doing the will of Hashem. That only works if you view it as there's no truth here, there's no point here. The only point is do the will of Hashem. Right, but the Ran's about to say that that's not the approach we're going to take. Yeah. He's saying if you view the whole Torah as the main point is obey, it doesn't really matter what, just obey. So then you're not looking for any reasoning. It's not that you view it as a system that works within the system of the world, but rather obey. You're the servant, just do. Okay, then it could work. There's a saying that says, when I was a kid, they used to say this. There's no room for questions. There's no room for why. There's no room for questions. You just do or die. Yes. When we were kids in elementary school, that's how we used to describe certain teachers. When we were kids in elementary school, we used to sometimes leave that as a quote on the blackboard for the teacher when we felt the teacher was being unreasonable. So we'd write "teacher says" and then colon, and then we'd leave that sentence in the morning. Yeah, and one teacher turned back and said, "You guys got it right. Perfect." Yes. So the Ran says, if that's your approach to Torah, so it's just do, obey. So then everything works fine. If we say that there's no real system why this is defiled and this is pure, it's just because God wants you to treat this as defiled and that as pure. So if Chazal will one day tell you, no, you got it all wrong, the sheep is a pig and the pig is a sheep, so now you'll start eating pig and stop eating sheep, it doesn't matter. Because the whole point is there are do's and don'ts, but there's no real essence that there's something right about not eating pig and something right about, yes, eating sheep. If the way you view the Torah is it's just a series of just do's and don'ts, so then the rabbis can tell you one day, this is what this means and that's what that means, and it doesn't matter. Because you're doing and you're not doing. Says the Ran, if that's your approach to Torah, okay, so then everything works. Then you could work with what we've said until now, that whatever the rabbis say, that's right, and it doesn't matter if they got it wrong or not. Because they can't get it wrong. Right? That's what he's saying. Ve'i efshar she'imashech ma'inyanu b'nafshotenu davar megune klal. And then he's saying that eating pork, it doesn't really do anything. It's just because the Torah wants you to know there are some things I do and some things I don't do. So the Torah is telling you, don't eat pork. But if one day the rabbis will say, no, that's not pork, you can eat that, so then nothing bad will happen. If that's your approach to Torah, so then everything works. But we don't take that approach, says the Ran. We say that when the Torah tells you not to eat pork, there is something very right about not eating pork. There's a reason the Torah said it to you. It's not just do's and don'ts. You might not be able to figure out what's right about not eating pork. But if the rabbis would wake up one day and say, by the way, we just figured it out, the sheep is the pork and the pork is the sheep, go eat pork and whatever, switch, then you should know it's a catastrophe. It's not just in the sense that there's a transgression going on here. It's that the Torah gave you a great system to live by, and now you've done something very destructive to your own life. So then the truth matters. So then how could we say, says the Ran, that when the rabbis say something and they were given license to define certain things in Torah, if they got it wrong, it doesn't matter, because I did what the rabbi said, that's the system God gave me, and I'm okay. What do you mean? We believe that this system is the correct way to live. So then the rabbis better get it right. You can't tell me the Torah told you listen to the rabbis, and if they get it wrong, that's also okay. Well, how could you say that? So the rabbis will tell me today is Rosh Hashanah instead of tomorrow. You're fine. You celebrate Rosh Hashanah today instead of tomorrow because the rabbi said so. Excuse me. We believe that there's something right about celebrating Rosh Hashanah on the right day. There's a reason why God gave me that mitzvah. And when I'm doing it, I'm accomplishing something correct in this world, in every world. It's doing something right. It's not just adhere. Well, in that case, then why do we listen when Rabbi Gamliel says today is Rosh Hashanah and the great sage Rabbi Yoshua says, I'm sorry, that doesn't match the constellations. You got it wrong. And Rabbi Yoshua has to listen to Rabbi Gamliel. Why? You guys, you understand the Ran's question? Yeah, is it clear? Before we take other questions, is the Ran, no new questions. Did we understand the Ran? Do people understand the Ran before we have... Anyone have questions, or is it clear?
Wait, can I just re-say the question just so I...
In a second.
Repeat.
Yes, are we clear?
Yeah.
Let's explain again.
Yeah.
There are two approaches we can take to Torah. You could look at the Torah and say, the Torah wants you to have do's and don'ts. But if, let's say, the rabbis will tell you that, you know, you thought Rosh Hashanah was today, really it should be tomorrow. Or... the other way. That's what happened in the case of the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel declared it was Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Yeshua, analyzing the stars, said, impossible. You got it wrong. Today's not Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah. Now, how do we view the celebration of Rosh Hashanah on the wrong day? Let's say Rabbi Yeshua was right. The Gemara ultimately proves that Rabbi Yeshua was wrong. Rabbi Yeshua thought he was right. So assuming Rabbi Yeshua thinks he's right, if Rabbi Yeshua celebrates Rosh Hashanah today instead of tomorrow, so says the Ran, we understand that by celebrating Rosh Hashanah on the right day, you are doing something amazing to the whole world. If you were to celebrate Rosh Hashanah a day off, you're not doing that. Blowing shofar a day early, well, the heavenly courts are convening tomorrow. What'd you do? I'm saying you didn't accomplish anything. So how can we say that Hashem gave us the Torah and said, however the rabbis define it, they have a license in a certain range, you go with it. The rabbis were asked, I'll get to you, Bini. Let's finish and then let's make sure everyone understands. The rabbis were asked, is the tanur shalachnai, is this oven defiled or pure? All the rabbis said defiled, Rabbi Eliezer said pure. A heavenly voice came out and said, Rabbi Eliezer is right. The rabbi said, excuse me, God, you told us we're supposed to use our system to define Torah. We have to work with our system. Defiled, that's the rule. Kick Rabbi Eliezer out of the base medrash. We rule it's defiled. We tell Rabbi Eliezer, you stay home. You're not accepted anymore. Wait. So the Ran is asking, if we're to understand that there's something intrinsically right about how the Torah is telling us to lead our lives, the Torah is giving you a system where everything you do is part of a perfect system. So how can you say that if the rabbis got it wrong, that's okay? Because the Torah told you, listen to them. But what about the truth of the system? The whole system works so that you lead a correct life. If they got it wrong, you're not leading the correct life anymore.
If the answer is
no. Wait, did we understand the question? Yes? 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 I'm not going to let them ask questions unless I make sure everyone understands. There's no point in moving forward and confusing everyone. is it, if it's a question or you didn't understand?
It's like a question, but it's, you know, like, we don't know what is wrong if you don't find the rabbis. That's what I'm saying.
Let's hear the rab. But at least let's hear his, he's trying to approach philosophically the concept we've seen so far. He's saying, philosophically, how does this work? If we're taught that the Torah is a system and that system is perfect for you, so how does it work that when the rabbis tell you today is Rosh Hashanah and you understand astronomically that tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, listen to them, it's okay, you're doing right. Why am I doing right? That's the Ran's question. Okay, I think he was first.
Would you, in this case, would you, is the answer, I really,
We're not up to the answer. It's going to take us 2 weeks to get through the answer. So we're still in the middle of the question.
Okay, I'm trying to put this into more of the question then. All right, go with the first step to find it.
Just with the example of Rosh Hashanah, we do a two-day Rosh Hashanah, where we say one day is the day, and one day is, you could say it's a safek, or if it was...
It's not a safek. It's a rabbinic institution that the rabbis wanted you to do 2 days. We have no question about when Rosh Hashanah is.
No, so you said you're doing it the day after. You're doing.
That's a rabbinic institution. Celebrate another day. Just like the rabbis can institute Purim, and the rabbis can institute Hanukkah, they can institute, celebrate another day of Rosh Hashanah.
The second day of Rosh Hashanah as the first day of Rosh Hashanah?
That's the rabbinic institution, to treat it as another day of Rosh Hashanah. But
and
it's not
from the Ron's question here.
Correct. Because here we're talking about the one day. We're talking about the day that the courts would designate as Rosh Hashanah. The day that you're going to biblically blow shofar.
And another point is, we just said in Yeshayahu, do as much as you can. So I'm saying one rabbi said things this way, one rabbi said that way. They have to come to some sort of conclusion. But I'm saying, you just said, you know, like, all right, people do make mistakes, but on the other hand, like nobody's perfect.
That's not the point. Here we're saying that the Torah told you, Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yoruha, listen to what they said, that's what God wants you to do. The Ran is saying, how does that work with the perfect system of Torah? What does that mean? Hashem created a world and gave us a system and said the system is right. And then Hashem says, listen to the way the rabbis define the system. The Ran says, but then it could be that one generation, they tell me, do things this way. And two generations later, they say, do things that way. Now you're going to say, which one's the perfect world? What am I doing right? How can you just say that whatever the rabbi says is the way Hashem wants you to adhere to the Torah? Why? He's asking a good question.
Yeah, a very good question.
I feel like the question is more fundamental than this. It's not even like from generation to generation. It's in a theoretical case. Let's say, for example, I see, you know, nowadays, and I have been around previous generations, but I'm assuming nowadays it's more like chutzpah in this manner. I've met people who are very convinced that they're right and all the rabbis are wrong. I'm sure I've met many people, you know, Chol Mer specifically, because people are very passionate. But so it's really more fundamental. But it's not this generation versus the previous generation. It's, you know, theoretical case, if you know that you're right, or if you feel that you're right, or whatever, if you are right, you're wrong, what do you do? Meaning, how, and for the sake of consistency, how are you able to...
Let's hear out the run.
Was that a
It's a good question, but let's finish hearing the Ran and then see if we still have a question. I'm saying it's a... Okay. I don't remember your name.
Oh, Noach.
Noach, yes.
Yeah, so especially in this case of, you know, Rabbi Eliezer and, you know, this heavenly voice saying that, you know, the oven was pure versus, you know, the other Rabbanim who said it wasn't pure. Now, what happens with the reinstitution of Nebuah, prophecy? That there's, you know, literally a prophet who's hearing the direct voice of God. You even have a Sanhedrin to appoint him, and he says, oh, it's this way, this way, this way. And the majority of rabbis are against it. You know, what happens?
So Rambam writes in the introduction to Mishnah that if a prophet were to walk into court and say, God told me this is not kosher. God told me the halacha is this way. And we tell him, give us a minute, we'll execute you. He gets a death penalty. Because when Hashem said, Lo v'shamayim hi, at the end of the Torah, Hashem said the Torah is not in heaven. Hashem was saying, I will not send you a prophet to give you any halachic ruling. And if a prophet says he's given halachic ruling, if he says this is my tradition, if he says this is what I've figured out logically, so then we say, okay, Prove it if it's logic. If it's your tradition, we respect it. But if he walks in and says, God told me the halacha is this way, we give him the death penalty. We say he's a false prophet. Hashem would not do that. A heavenly voice that the whole court hears, that can happen. But a prophet walking in and saying, and you see they didn't feel like they had to listen to the heavenly voice. If a prophet would tell them that, if he had license to say that, then they'd have to listen to him. I'm saying if a prophet walks in and says, I know today is Shabbos, but Hashem told me to tell you that today you should all turn on your light bulbs. And we know he's a true prophet. We have to listen to him. I'm saying a prophet is allowed to say, I have a message from God that today you're supposed to do mitzvah differently. One day. Right? That's called hora'at shah. He's allowed to tell us on a one-time basis, Hashem told you to do things differently. We listen to him. And if anyone doesn't listen to him, they'll get the death. Okay, not the death penalty at court, but Hashem says he'll kill them. That's because he's not changing the Torah. He's saying there's a one-time event. Hashem told us to do it this way. We're going to do it. But if a prophet walks into Beis Din and says, Hashem told me to tell you guys, the halacha is this way, then we say he must be lying. He gets a death penalty. He's a false prophet. Now, gentlemen, you have to take a vote. Technically, we're in a suspenseful moment. The Ran is building up a question. But the only way we'll make any real headway is if we forgo Rav Harlap today and spend the next half hour learning the Ran. So I don't think anyone here wants to forgo Rav Harlap. How many people want to forgo Rav Harlap and do the Ran?
That's not a fair question for your Rav Harlap.
What can I do? We have a half hour. You choose.
Wait, who's Rav Harlap?
Stick around, you'll hear. How many people want us to do Rav Harlap and not the Ran? So wait. You got to vote one way.
I want to vote.
Okay, so we continue the drasha Taran. אבל אחרי שאנחנו לא נבחר בזה, אתה תבנה מן שכל מה שמנעתהו, התורה ממנו מזיק אלינו, מוליד ראש אמרה בנפשנו, being that we believe that when the Torah tells us not to do something, it's for our benefit. And when the Torah says don't do something, if a person were to do it, then he's going to hurt his soul. ואף על פי שלא נדע סיבתו, even though we don't really know how or why this works. We don't know what's wrong with eating pork. We don't know what's wrong with working on Shabbos. We don't know why this affects our soul. But we know, Hashem says, I created the world and I'm telling you, this is the system, this is what's good for you. לפי זה הדעת, based on that approach, אם כן, כשיסכימו החכמים בדבר אחד, תמישהו טהור. So then if the rabbis tell me that something that should really be defiled, the rabbis tell me it's pure, מה יהיה? הלו הדבר הוא יזיק אותנו? The rabbis tell me this is pure, but the Torah really says it's not. So how could I listen to the rabbis? Now, aren't I harming myself? Didn't we just say that the system of the Torah is there to give you that perfect life so that you get it right? So if we're going to say that something harmful happens if you eat something that's prohibited, so if the rabbis get it wrong and they tell you, yeah, you can eat that, how could the halacha say, listen to them, aren't you hurting yourself? What does it help me that the rabbis say it's pure? But the Torah, the truth is, it's not. If the reverse story would have happened with that oven, all the rabbis would have said it's pure. Rabbi Eliezer said it's defiled, and the heavenly voice agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. So now we would come and use that oven, even though God said it's not pure. So doesn't it harm us? Don't we approach the Torah that the Torah told you a system that's good for you? Let's take this example and move it to our daily lives. Let's say all the doctors would get together and decide it's good for you to smoke. Okay? והוא על דרך משל חם במעלה רביעית שאין ספק שלא תמשך פעולת הסם בגוף כפי שמה שהסכימו בו הרופאים. Now, all the doctors knew beforehand that this could destroy your life. Now the doctors come in and say, it's healthy to smoke crack. Everyone should smoke crack. Okay? So now, the people start smoking crack. What are you going to say? Don't worry, it won't hurt you. All the rabbis said it's okay. What do you mean, so what? All the doctors say it's healthy. So, does that change reality? The fact that all of medical science will sign on it, that it won't harm you, that's not going to change the reality. It'll still harm you, אבל כפי טיבו בעצמו, כן הדבר שעשה לנו הטובה מצד שהוא מזיק בנפש. It seems that Torah revealed to us a hidden nature in the world. There's a system that we don't know how to tap into without the Torah. Just like we understand there are things in regular science that can hurt you, and all the doctors can't change that. When Torah gave you a system, Torah was giving you the hidden system. You want to know how to live in this world and lead a good life? Here's how. That's what the Torah gave you. So now, what does it help if the rabbis decide differently? That system is what's right. And if they got it wrong, they got it wrong.
Can I ask a question?
No, let's finish the thought. כן הדבר שעשנו את רם צד שהוא מזיק בנפש איך השתנתה והדבר ראו מצד שהסכימו החכמים שמותר זה אפשר רק על צד הפלא. He says, unless you're going to start talking to me about miracles, it seems impossible to say that the rabbi's agreement that something should be this way or that way would change. If we view it all as a system, and Hashem gave us this system and said, this is what's right for you, so then you have to talk about miracles, because otherwise you can't understand it. והיחווים כן יותר שנמשך בזה על פי מה שהתבר לנו מצד נביא או בת קול. And if you're going to talk about miracles, then logic would dictate, work the other way. Noah asked a few minutes ago, what would happen if a prophet walked in? Well, why don't you listen to him, says the Ran. If the heavenly voice comes out and says, Rabbi Eliezer's right, then the rabbis should have all said, oh, thanks for telling us, and gone to Rabbi Eliezer's side. Aren't we trying to tap into what God wants us to do? What does it mean that we're working the system? If a prophet walks in, how come we tell him, you can't tell us what Nalach is? You can be one of the rabbis, you could use logic, you could use tradition, you could use text. You cannot walk in as a prophet and say, believe me, this is Nalach. We don't listen to him. How come, says the Ran? Shouldn't it be the other way around? That would seem to be the perfect way to verify the real truth. What does God want? So that is the Ran's question. We just finished the question. Now we'll begin the answer. Yes?
The only place where there's actually like a nakamina is in this specific situation where a gospel came out or a nakamina would come. Maybe in our day, it doesn't happen all the time. In our day-to-day life, it's in, you know, this, nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect for us. It's going to be too easy, you know. Also, the munaf was so obvious what was true, then everyone would be religious, right?
I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
What I'm asking is that according to the only situation where his question is relevant is in a situation where we know for a fact that the truth is. When, for example, when a gospel comes out.
Let's wait. Let's hear him out. I don't agree, but let's hear him out. Let's hear him out. If in the end we still have questions, we'll revisit it. Okay? Hatshuva b'zeh. So the answer says the Ran. She'inyan noig b'mitzva hazot b'chok ha-Torah k'mo she'inhag ha-kochot ha-tivim b'chok ha-teva. We know there are laws of nature, and they work with systems, and so too there's a system within the Torah. She'kmo she'em ha-tiv'o ba-adam o ba-davar ha-tivi ha-shalo ha-kochot ha-em le-tzoch tikuno. Just as Hashem put in forces within nature so that the system fixes itself sometimes. For example, Hashem gives us a digestive system. You eat food. The food, as you eat it, doesn't give you what you need. But your digestive system breaks it down, and then you have all kinds of amazing processes that go on within your body to filter out where certain nutrients should go, where certain minerals should go, where certain vitamins should go. Your body's breaking down, and so to speak, it fixes the food. You ingest food that go inject into your bloodstream, some carrots. Person would die. It does nothing for him. No, you don't inject carrots into the bloodstream. You eat a carrot, and the body breaks down and sends the beta carotene where it's supposed to go. So Hashem created a system within nature that breaks down and spreads out and fixes, so to speak. We're constantly fixing things. We don't even notice how many times we blink. What are we doing when we blink? We're bringing moisture to our eyes. We're clearing our eyelids of dirt. So nature is constantly fixing things. It's constantly contending. We develop antibodies. Our body fights off germs. We are constantly fixing. There's constantly, so to speak, a stress on the system, a healthy stress on the system. You live in a world where every minute you're under a certain atmospheric pressure, right? Why doesn't water float? There's atmospheric pressure. It's not just gravity. There's also atmospheric pressure. Every minute we're carrying on our shoulders a certain amount of weight. Yeah, there is. There's
it's
that.
Also, in another context, it's the hidden hand in economics.
The
hidden hand in economics is exactly the same thing. Yeah? So, like, it's perfect the way that it bounces on land.
Oh, so within nature, one of the laws of nature is that nature deals with problems. And nature deals with challenges. And nature fixes things. We also deal with problems. The Torah also fixes things. And so there's a nature within the system, just like within the system of nature, there's a system. So too within the system of Torah, there's also a system. And that system also fixes things. Uvichlal al harov yimashech mehim tikun. And the general rule in nature is that things get fixed. A person eats something that's rotten, so he might have a stomach ache. He might find himself relieving himself more frequently, and he's going to get rid of all the food that shouldn't have gone into his system, so his body fixes it. We are constantly dealing with challenges, fixing it, moving on. So nature fixes problems. But sometimes it can happen that the very system within the body that's supposed to fix things can destroy things, right? Sometimes a person's antibodies can fight himself. It's not common, but it can happen. Sometimes a person's immune system can fight itself. There are realities where the systems of nature that are supposed to fix problems can become the problem itself. That can happen. Hateva lo nishmar min hafsed. Nonetheless, we come to a realization that there's the general system, and the general system keeps fixing itself. And sometimes there's the uncommon occurrence where things do get destroyed.
What's an example of where it fixes itself?
We said sometimes a person's antibodies can fight himself.
What's another example? Mutation.
What?
Yeah, sorry. No, what was a huge similar example, not in different contexts?
What's another example? What's another? You don't want a medical example.
Yeah.
You want a scientific example it's where?
Which is more. It's okay, I understand.
So, let's say Hashem created an ecosystem where. Lions will ensure that the zebras don't expand too much, because if the zebras expand too much, they'll devour too much of a certain vegetation. So there's an ecosystem where this thing ensures that, and that thing ensures that, and that thing ensures that. Hashem created vermin that will slowly cause the decomposition, and they will consume rotten fruit, because otherwise they'll stick around and diseases can happen. So it's important that there's this decomposition and that vermin will consume them. So that's their job. But sometimes things can get out of hand and they can overtake things. We find that ecosystems are broken. You find that within the system, there are all kinds of perfect perfections where this takes care of that, and that takes care of that, and that takes care of that, and there's a system. And then sometimes within that system, something becomes absolutely destructive. And that can happen. It's the exception, but it can happen. When man decides that he's going to take down all the elephants to take their tusks. So even though it's healthy that there's a certain amount of hunting of elephants, but at some point it can be destructive. Hashem created a world which is not perfect. It's almost perfect. It's a world where there are systems. And within those systems, yeah, sometimes within nature you find that things can actually be destructive. There are mutations. The truth is that this is also the system within this mitzvah. Ki kmo she'akoach ha'moshech hutba ba'adam kedei she'imshach mezono ve'yifshar lo mibaladav. Hashem created gravity so that you can digest. Hashem created within us a system so that we can eat. In outer space, there are only specific foods that they can eat. Because without gravity, it's very hard for the digestive system to work. So Hashem created what? So Hashem created with us a system that works for us. And if you don't have parts of the system, a person can't live. ואם כל זה הכוח המושך ההוא, אם היות שברוב העניינים איננו מושך כי עם הנאות לבד, אף על פי כן לפעמים עם הנאות, ההוא יימשך דבר בלתי נאות. יתלד מנחולי ברוב הזמן. Sometimes you can have that you wish there wasn't gravity. Sometimes you can have things in your own digestive system, in your own system, that cause a person to die, where a person wishes he didn't have that. והטבע לא ישגיח על זה. But there's a nature. Hashem created systems. אבל עיקר כוונתו היה על התיקון הכללי הנמשך תמיד. Hashem says, I created a system that works in general. ולא יקפיד על ההפסד הנופל על צד הזרות. And even though there are exceptions to the general benefit, Hashem says, I want a world where the general system is healthy. Hashem says, I created a world where you have to deal with the exceptions, but the general system is healthy. In general, people get pregnant, give birth, and the baby's healthy. In general, there's a general rule. How often does it happen? There are mutations. There are situations where people are born unhealthy. There are situations of Chernobyl where a whole area could be born unhealthy. But the general rule is Hashem created a healthy world. The general rule is that people can lead a healthy life. There's a general rule. Hashem said, I created a world with rules that work generally. Hashem created a world where you'll never hit perfection. We always want to hit perfection. But Hashem says, I created a world where you won't. You'll never hit perfection. Today there's this new game. People get pregnant. They don't want to get pregnant right away. They want to take the embryo, they want to take the seed of the man and the egg of the woman and analyze it. Will he have blue eyes or brown eyes? Will he have blonde hair or brown hair? If they can afford it, so they want to choose.
So what's it called, the German thing?
Eugenics?
Yeah,
if you can afford it, there are people who don't take the standard genetic tests. They get genetic testing. The guy once told me he had to have his testing shipped out to Europe. They waited 6 months before they got engaged because they wanted to undergo so many tests that there's only one country in Europe that has a laboratory sophisticated enough to administer all these tests. So people think they're going to corner nature. They're going to make sure everything is healthy. Not so. It doesn't work that way. Hashem created a world where you're never going to get 100%. You don't have 100% in this world. And Hashem says, I leave the world with exceptions. Situations that are not pleasant. And Hashem left them in the world. And Hashem created a world where you're not going to get better than that. The Ran didn't say we shouldn't attempt to be safe and healthy. He's not saying drive without a seatbelt because if Hashem wants, people will die anyways. No, we have a range where it makes sense within that range to be careful. We do check things out. We do take medicine. We do take tests. No one's saying you should never do an ultrasound because don't worry about it. You're never going to get to 100%. No, there's a range that's considered normal ishtadlut. There's a range that we say that much you should try to attempt to ensure things turn out right. And then beyond that range, you have to realize you're never going to get to 100%. So there's a range of normalcy. And within that range, it's a range. There's no one definition. There are people who want to take an ultrasound every month or every 2 months. And then there are people who say it's enough once a trimester. There are people who want to do an in-depth ultrasound to check out the different compartments of the heart and the brain and the different organs. Okay, there's a range. But that's the range of normalcy. And beyond that, to try to get to perfection, says the Ran, it's not going to work. Hashem created a world where you don't have that. Says the Ran, the same is true with regard to this mitzvah. The Torah says, I need you to work with the system. And the system the Torah wants to establish is firstly that we all adhere to the system and we don't spend our time fighting. So the Torah says, if Rabbi Eliezer is going to say this is defiled and the rabbis say this is pure, and so factories are going to start mass producing Rabbi Eliezer ovens, you're going to have a situation where Am Yisrael can't eat by one another. Are you using a Rabbi Eliezer oven? What hechsher does your oven have? Is it a Rabbi Eliezer oven or a rabbi's oven?
Is it for the sake of practicality?
The Torah wanted one of the main goals the Torah had was that Am Yisrael shouldn't be divided. And so when the Torah gave us a system, part of the idea of the system is that the Torah said, I don't want you to be destroyed as a people. In order for you not to be destroyed as a people, you have to be able to unite. So the Torah says, I want a system where at the end of the day, there's going to be a bottom line. The Torah didn't want the situation we have today where the Sephardi asks the Ashkenazi, is it halak? Can I eat in your house? That's not what the Torah wanted. Meaning that the Torah's, it's very sad that today people ask all kinds of questions. The Torah wanted that you see a Torah observant Jew, you can eat. I know Rav Moshe Feinstein went to Kiddushin of the yeshiva, and I know that people brought homemade goods, and he ate. They're God-fearing people. What are you worried about? The Torah didn't want a system where a person's so antsy that we're divided. I don't know. What hechsher do you eat? You don't know. He's a good kosher Jew. Why don't you trust him? So, coming back to here, the Ran says, the Torah gave us a system. And the Torah's system was to give us the best possible lives. Well, you know what? Part of the best possible lives is that there's a bottom line. What Hashem did not want was a situation where Am Yisrael was divided, where I keep the Torah this way, you keep the Torah that way. The Torah wanted what we have in Kochav Yaakov, where even if I have a custom that I say the prayer Ashkenazis, and he has a custom that he says it's Sephardi, we're davening in the same building. And I daven in their minyan sometimes, they daven in my minyan sometimes, and we're friends, we're neighbors, we live together, sometimes we make a communal minyan where we all daven together. Says the Ran, you have to appreciate the value the Torah gave in unity. And so the Torah said it's far more important when we're calculating things that the people unite. So that doesn't mean we're going to say, okay, there's Reform, Conservative, Orthodox. Let's just find the middle ground. We'll all do it that way and everyone will be united. The Torah didn't say that. The Torah didn't say that for the sake of unity, now you can erase mitzvot and just ensure there's unity. That's what's important. Just don't fight. The Torah didn't say that. The Torah did say there will be a high court. The high court will give a ruling. You're concerned. Wait a second. What's more important? What's less important? Sometimes what's more important is that you don't have a heart attack. Sometimes what's more important is that you don't cut your own throat. Says the Torah, you have to realize that in the hierarchy of things, the greatest importance was that there'd be a central court and you adhere to it. Because the greatest importance is that within the range that the high court can err, it's not a big range. You're dealing with the greatest leaders, the greatest rabbis, and so even if you'll tell me in the system they didn't get it right, but you still have a greater benefit because you have unity.
Why is it so great according to the Ran?
I could answer you, but I don't want to answer you. I could answer, but I would much rather say that just like we don't understand why it's important to eat kosher as opposed to non-kosher, Hashem gave us a system and said this is what's important, so too we don't understand the greatness of the importance of unity. We can, I think, understand on some level, but I think that just like we understand that we don't appreciate the greatness of Shabbat. We adhere to Shabbat and we see certain amounts of benefits that Shabbat give us. But does that mean we've wrapped our head around the mitzvah? I know why Shabbat is important. No, I don't.
That doesn't answer why if there's a batfala comes out that...
Oh, that's like, he didn't finish talking. We're interrupting him.
How far do we take this? I'm saying, should we say, like, no
one... Why are we asking questions when we didn't hear what he has to say? I'm saying you guys are taking it to the next step. We're not even halfway through the answer. He just said one sentence. I'm saying we're... okay. So the Torah didn't want us to end up with two religions in Torah. A cardinal importance in the Torah is that we remain united around one Torah. V'tikna'ev sedat midi azeh. And the Torah said, I'm going to ensure to correct this danger or this harm. K'shemasra chata svekot lechachmei ador. The Torah said, the system is The leaders of the generation will give you an answer, and that's the way you have to function. That's what I want, says God. And by the way, they're almost always going to be right. It's like I once was talking to my father about being a parent. And my father said to me, you know, we're human. We do the best we can. Even as parents, you can't be right 100% of the time. I said, yeah. And then my father said, yeah, but you better be right almost always. It's true that you're human as a parent. But it's also true that you better be right most of the time. Because you owe that to your kids. They're counting on you. If you're not sure you're right, then don't act. Verify, find out. But you can't do things that'll be harmful to your kids because I'm only human. No. Your job is to be right almost always. And that, says the Ran, you have to remember that the Torah gave it over to the high court, which are extraordinary people, who are extraordinarily dedicated, who are extraordinarily refined as human beings, who have invested an extraordinary amount of time studying to get it right. Rava said that if his mother would ask him to pass the butter, it would take him a week to regain his focus. They would focus weeks on time, at a time. They would never untie their shoes. They'd go to sleep with their shoes on. They were so focused that they would have a block of a week of focus when they were analyzing a question. When Rabbi Feinstein had to give his ruling on the Siamese twins, whether they should be operated on, how they should be operated on, which one would live and which one would die, is it the one that had the heart, is it the one that had the brain, is it the one that had the kidneys, how do you decide how to slice up this child, this pair of children, so that one of them can live? Are you allowed to intervene? He sat for 2 weeks straight studying and said no one should interrupt him for 2 weeks. He locked himself up in a room for 2 weeks straight. They could only bring him food and water. That was it. No one was allowed to talk to him because he had to get it right. He was giving a ruling that would define whether they would live and how they would live. The doctors were waiting for his ruling. So when we speak about the high court, even though Chazal forced us to face the reality that sometimes God says, but I want it differently. And the high court has a job to say, you give us the system, we're working with your system, and this is how we have to work. But almost always, they're getting it right. It's not the Rocha, who knows, you know, 50-50 chance, either right or wrong. No. You have to remember that they're almost always going to get it right.
So at what point is that?
Ve'yemish patam tzodek. What they rule is almost always going to be correct. Kishgiot ha-chachamim ha-gdolim me'atot mimishu lematamem b'chokhmah. When you deal with a top doctor, he's not perfect. He's not 100%, but he's almost. He's very, very good. His bad days are few and far between. He's almost never going to get it wrong. The same is true when you're dealing with a top sage, someone who's made it to the high court. They're almost never going to make a mistake. Almost never. There isn't perfection. And don't forget, you're dealing with a situation where you have a checks and balances, and everyone's talking to everyone. It's not that they're coming to a quick flash ruling. This is how I rule. No. The high court is sitting and analyzing and arguing with one another, and everyone gets a chance to express their opinion. And if there's a rabbi from somewhere else who thinks they're wrong, he's invited to come in and explain why he thinks they're wrong. This isn't happening in a vacuum. This is a situation where they're putting down on the table, this is what we think, this is why we think it, this is how we've analyzed it, and everyone gets to hear it. And then everyone gets to challenge it. And we see times where Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu's nephew, the kid, Bezalel, he's a teenager. And he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, I think God meant differently in how we should build the Mishkan. And Moshe listens to him and he says, you're right. I'm wrong. So starting with Moshe Rabbeinu, we have situations where someone was able to walk into the high court and say, I'm sorry, I think you're wrong. And the high court listened. Historically, we listened. The real high court, our goal is, what does God want? Our goal isn't the ego, I should get it right. On the contrary, the chief rabbi of the high court, he talks last. When they would start discussing things, if they had a case that involved life and death, they went from the smallest to the biggest. You first heard the voice of the smallest person on the court. They worked their way up. Let's hear everyone's opinion. Now you have to realize, the smallest was a super genius. I mean, you're talking about the giants of the Jewish people. But everyone was open to hearing everyone. There was open discourse.
Was it Eli upset about Shmuel's ruling of the calf?
No, he was upset that Shmuel gave that ruling in the presence of people who were greater than him. He shouldn't have given a ruling. The fact that he expresses an opinion that's legitimate, the fact that he gave a ruling when there were older and wiser people than him, that's what they were upset at him for. We also say that the high court, when they were in the temple, so then they had Hashem's presence with them. And even though there can be that exception where they make a mistake, it can happen. The Torah says it can happen. We have a special sacrifice for when the high court makes a mistake. But that's the exception. The Torah said it doesn't bother me. The fact that there will happen every so often situations where they make a mistake, that's built into the system. And that's fine. You have to adhere to them. That's far more important. The Torah says that's okay because the system is right. Ah, the system will sometimes have situations like that. It's like the guy who's undergoing treatment and he's in tremendous pain and the doctors tell him, you got to take morphine. So he says, that's drugs. And they say, right, that's drugs, but where you're holding now, that's what's good for you. That's what's going to benefit you now. So we generally say, don't do it. But sometimes there are situations where that's what's going to keep him healthy. Who knows what will happen to his heart if he has to undergo all that pain. So there's a system. And the system is generally right. And then there are the exceptions. Ve'yif shalit taken yotel mize, kmo shu b'chok ha-teva b'shaveh. Hashem said, this is the best system for humanity. And it includes this aspect that there will be times that the courts will get it wrong. The Torah says there will be times the courts get it wrong. And the Torah says, nonetheless, this is your best system. And the Torah says, I want wise men, I don't want prophets. When it comes to deciding halacha, the prophets are not in charge of halacha. It's the rabbis, it's the wise men, it's the high court. L'sibot rabot, there are many reasons why the Torah didn't want the prophets interfering in the halachic process. Only tradition and rabbis. If a prophet walks in and he's wearing the title rabbi, we listen to him. If a prophet walks in and he has a halachic claim, we listen to him. A prophet cannot walk in and say, do that because God said so. No, that doesn't work. Shadavar barur shenanvim mitnabim becholet. One reason is because prophets don't have control over when they'll get their prophecy. You're going to come to the prophet and ask him, what's the halacha here? And he won't always be able to answer you. What's going to be on the days he doesn't have prophecy?
That's
Hashem Miriam.
So
he
could make the day.
Right? Think about it first.
No, I know what the answer is. Hashem wants an imperfect system.
No. No. There's more. The odd, secondly, Hashem knew that a generation would come where there wouldn't be prophets anymore. There comes a time where the Jewish people unfortunately went down a level and we could no longer have prophets in our midst. What would happen at the time where we weren't worthy of prophets? Well, then we're going to be without a leader. We'll be without a guidance. And that's why Hashem said, there's one form of leader in the Jewish people that will be there for eternity. And that is the wise men, those who learn Torah. Hashem promised us that we would never forget the Torah. So that's the second reason. And the third reason, which we'll end with for today, at the end of the day, says the Ran, even when you believe a prophet, you never know if he's telling the truth. At the end of the day, we had prophets who switched sides. We've had situations where prophets themselves fell. The Torah didn't want to give it over to a prophet, because you never really know if the prophet is telling the truth. The Torah says, I want you to work with a prophet, but a prophet could also trick people into thinking he's a prophet. כמו שיתברר לפנינו, as we'll still explain. ולכן בחרה התורה יותר שתימסר חל חכמים שיסכימו עליה בטעם וראיה. And that's why the Torah wanted to work with a system. You have to explain yourself. You have to prove yourself. You have to explain your case. One of the wonderful things that I was taught by my rabbis, that this is a great blessing of being a rabbi who gives halachic ruling, is that people question you. People don't stop questioning you. I can sometimes write what seems to me to be a simple halacha, and then people start firing back at me. I get emails, I get questions. Sometimes I say something, I didn't think I was being controversial. I thought I said something fairly simple. And the reactions I get, wow, okay. So that keeps a person on their toes. The Rama writes in his introduction to why he wrote his commentary, his Rama, he says, because when I became rabbi, every time I'd give a speech, every time I'd give a halachic ruling, when I was done, people would start gathering around me and firing at me questions. They'd bring this source and that source, and I'd find myself being challenged all the time over everything I said. So I decided, let me put it down and give all my sources, and let me arrange it. So that's healthy. That's what the Torah wanted. The Torah wanted this situation where if a rabbi wants to give a ruling, he's going to be questioned. That's why the Torah gave over the tradition and definition of Torah to the rabbis, so that they would be challenged, so that they would work within a system, so that they would have to talk to one another and work with one another, and then you come out to a logical conclusion. A prophet walks in, God told me, goodbye. You guys all have to listen. Who could challenge me? God said. He is right. He's not right. You have no way of knowing. And that's why the Torah preferred to give it to the rabbis, kshetim mishetim son na navi, chashloi tamtu dvarav ki mitzad haot, votot efshar yebo dvarim bego. Prophet, well, he's going to make a miracle. Okay, maybe he faked the miracle. Maybe he was able to trick you. So the Torah wanted it to be in the hands of the rabbis. The Torah did not want the definition of the Torah to be in the hands of the prophets. He's not done yet, but we've learned three reasons. Let's summarize what we learned today. We covered a tremendous amount of ground. Number one, the Ran had asked, if the system of the Torah is such that it is a system that gives you a way of life of perfection, then why? How could you listen to the rabbis if sometimes they're giving you a mistake in that system? The Ran answered and said a few things. Number one, he said, they're almost always going to get it right. So that's number one. And number two, Hashem gave us a system where Hashem said, it's not 100% perfect in the sense of what the rabbis will say, but it's the perfect system for you. How so? And that comes to the different examples where we gave, where we meet with compromises. In the medical world, we also make compromises. You tell a person not to take certain drugs, and then under certain circumstances, you say, take them. That's what's healthy for you in this circumstance. Said the Torah, in the system that I'm giving you, you have to realize that the accomplishment that you accomplish when you have a ruling that's definitive and finite, that outweighs the importance of getting it right on the details where the court might have gotten it wrong. The Torah commands you to listen to that. The Torah commands you, if the rabbi said that's how you're supposed to adhere to the Torah. We have to remember, there's a point here that we might be overlooking. If you analyze Talmud, there is very few details that we argue on compared to what we agree on. Meaning, sometimes, because the Talmud focuses in on the arguments and the points that aren't clear, we forget that on 99% of the Torah, there's no argument. Everyone agrees which day of the week Shabbat is. Everyone agrees what's kosher and non-kosher. Everyone agrees what are kosher birds and non-kosher birds, kosher animals and non-kosher animals. Everyone agrees how you're supposed to do Shechita. Meaning, if you really look at the Torah from the outside, you realize that on 99% of the Torah, there's no question. 99% we have the same tradition. Everyone agrees what a Torah is supposed to look like. The Jews that came from Yemen, who we haven't seen for generations, Sephardi, Ashkenazi, you have one letter where it's not clear whether it's a chet or a hey, whether the line is supposed to be attached or not. You have one word where it's not clear whether it should be an ayin or an aleph. You have one word where it's not clear whether you have a vav or not. But for every letter that there's a question of tradition, you have thousands of letters where we all agree on. Thousands. So again, it's less than 1% of the Torah where you actually have points of discussion. Everyone agrees what's defiled and not defiled. When you take an oven and you slice it in half, and then you take that second half and you slice that in half again, and then you don't put tar on it, you first put sand, and then tar. When you create such a convoluted oven, then you have an argument, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. But you understand, Everyone agrees what a whole oven, the laws of a whole oven is. Everyone agrees what the laws of a broken oven is. Everyone agrees what would be if you'd reconstruct that oven with tar without sand. When you create that far out situation of an oven that's been broken and reconstructed with sand in between its parts and tar on the outside, you have a machloket. Okay, and there God intervenes and says Rabbi Eliezer is right. Okay, but we have the perspective. It's well over 99% of the Torah where we have no questions and no arguments. And then when you find those places where you have arguments, 99% of the time the rabbis will get it right. So again, perspective. Of that less than 1%, you have again less than 1% of that less than 1% where this is relevant. And there, says the Torah, you have to realize, when this comes up, again, for 1,000 years, no question about when Rosh Hashanah is. Everyone agrees. One time it happened, and even that one time, who was right? Rav Gamliel was right. The High Court got it right. Rabbi Yeshua thought they got it wrong. And even there, he was taught, no, you have to go with the High Court. So what the High Court teaches you, says the Ran, when you have those scenarios where it will come up, which will be 1 out of 1,000 or 10,000, and of that 1 out of, let's say, 10,000 times that it comes up that the High Court has to give a ruling on a detail, you have 1 out of 10,000 times that they're going to get it wrong. Pretty far out, you know. You're going to get 1 out of 1 million, 1 out of 10 million. It's going to happen. There, says the Torah, you have to realize that I want you to live is with one system. In that one system, yeah, there will be a 1 in 1 million, 1 in 10. It can happen that it's not, you didn't get it right. And still, my preference is work with that system. I don't want to interfere with prophecy. And if you hear a heavenly voice, you're right in saying we want to go with that system. And that's right. That's how I want you to do. And that's what our sages say, that God was pleased with the answer that the rabbis gave him. You gave us a system. And on the contrary, we learned that that was a test to the rabbis. Would they listen to the voice or not listen to the voice? And they did right by not listening to it. So that, says the Ran, is the understanding of the system. That within the system, it can happen. It can happen. Maybe it happened twice in Jewish history that the rabbis got it wrong. Again, the examples we have, the rabbis got it right. But it could be that there were once or twice that they got it wrong. That could be that happened. Even so, the great benefit of the system wins. And that's what Hashem taught us within the system. And if you stop to think about it, I think there's an overall message and theme by this. This is my 2 cents. They tried researching a tremendous number of companies to figure out what is the key to success. And they came to a realization that perhaps the major component is decisiveness, having a direction for a company and making decisions. Indecision is what destroys people and companies. Making decisions and going with them, that's where you have success. I started learning in a Beit Midrash the last few months, which grew up out of the ground, like a phenomenal Beit Midrash that suddenly developed in our neighborhood. And one of the things that blew my mind was how the head of this Beit Midrash keeps on starting new programs. And I asked him, where do you get the money for? Every program you create costs you 10,000 shekel. You need to put together tremendous funding. He said, have a vision, do the vision, and then figure out the money. Now, I heard that line before. You know who I heard it from? Rav Bigan. Rav Bigan told me, you don't start a vision with money. You start a vision with a vision. You have a vision, create the vision. After you've created the vision and followed through, then you worry about the money. And I realized that there's the idea of decisiveness and moving. That's what we just learned in the Ran. The Torah says you cannot leave a situation where Am Yisrael, some are doing this way and some are doing that way. The High Court must rule. We want, Hashem wants a system where we all live a certain way. There is a Torah, and we adhere to it. And the High Court will almost always get it right. Sometimes they'll get it wrong. You're still better off with the system. Much, much better off. And again, I believe that if we work backwards, we can understand that the Torah was teaching us something about life by giving us the system. Hashem could have made a perfect system where the rabbis always get it right. And Hashem chose not to. That means Hashem was teaching us something about living with imperfections, realizing that unity and decisiveness are so important, they will sometimes come at the expense of perfection, and that's okay. Hashem purposely gave us the system. He could have done it differently. So there are messages within the system for us. Let's think about it. Have a good Shabbos.